open up your mouth, go ahead, read the report, and have tools on your toolbox. Test this out ethically. You are able to make it work. If you don't know your market, if you don't know the rules of the game, game is over.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Liz Faircloth.
And I am Andressa Ghidelli. In today's episode, here's what we're going to talk about, Liz. Many investors are coming across lower appraisal reports, and many of them think this is the end of the line. And I'm here to tell you the game is not over. I was able to raise a combined amount of $297,000 just for opening up my mouth and know the rules of appealing an appraisal. And this is what you can expect in today's episode. So Liz, let's get started here. I will share three steps that people can take nowadays to, first of all, avoid this type of situation. Why three, Andressa? You're making it super simple. Yes, because we make things more complicated, then people do nothing. So my goal here is to make those three steps super, super simple so you're able to take action. So here's a quick disclaimer. We are not here to appeal a legit appraisal with legit comps, that there's no mistakes on the report, right? Then I'm sorry, game over. I am here to share with you that when you find holes on the appraisal report and you know the market as the palm of your hand and you know the rules of the appraisal in your area, you get a chance to continue the process. So let's get started here. I always, no matter what property I'm doing, I always start with the appealing process inside my head. So if I get a report and the price is higher than what I expected, great. If I get a report that is lower than I expected, great. My preparation is the same, no matter what. So here's what you can do. The two things that I mentioned. Number one, you need to know the market as the palm of your hand. You can't appeal something without solid comps. Number two, you need to know the rules of the appraisers, meaning. So depending where you are and how dense is your market, the rules will change. So let's use South Philadelphia as an example. It's a very dense area. Depending how far do you go from your house, you're in a different neighborhood. You're in a different zip code.
Yeah, so big deal.
It is. So fully understanding, okay, how far back do appraisers go here? Is it 6 months? Do they go 12 months or 3 months? It's because of the intensity of the frequency here. Or do they use a different type of zip code or no, only this type of zip code? So really understand the rules of the game. It's extremely important. And you doing your due diligence, it's extremely important no matter what. If you do those two things, you will be already avoiding buying a deal that is not a deal and getting a higher appraisal report.
Question for you, Andressa, because I know you're the master at this, and I love that you just have this process so sound. Question for you is, how do you become the knowledgeable, knowing the rules of the game? Is it a who question? Like, who do they need to reach out to? Is it doing their due diligence in terms of research? Is it a mixture? Like, is there a hack on how do they, like, overnight know that information?
Well, I did not know anything about anything when I did my first appraisal. It was ignorance, right? And I was like, wait a minute. First of all, let me get the report. Many of you do not receive the report. You just receive the number. So get the report. Is your right to have a copy of the report so you can take a look at it and fully understand. I did do my due diligence in terms of understanding the market as the palm of my hand and understanding what are the appraisers doing it. Local meetups. I was part of them. I talked to appraisers that were attending those meetups. I talked to realtors, to other investors and say, okay, here, those are the rules. So I understood that part. And when I got a copy of the appraisal report, I went to town. I dissect that as little by little as I could and found a lot of mistakes. I found mistakes with the square footage of the house. I found mistakes with the number of bedrooms of the house, which I loved finding those mistakes because then my report looked pretty good. Right? So the preparation is the key, and knowing your market and the appraisal rules is crucial. Number two, strategic. When the person comes to your house needs to be staged. I'm going to repeat that again. Your house needs to be prepared to receive somebody. The goal here is to increase the perceived value, meaning the appraisers are going to be looking at the exterior of the house, the interior of the house. How is it presenting? And staging does affect that. And you want to know something else that affects that, Liz?
What?
Cookies. I always bake cookies. If they eat the cookie or don't eat the cookie, it doesn't really matter.
It smells good. It's the just
smell of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, I do not make it by scratch. Okay. Just get it frozen, put it there and throw it out later on. So it is important for you to present and walk the person through the house. So I am saying this is room number one. This is room number two. This is number three. One key here that I want to double check that with you, Liz, is that, you know, you're a master in relationships. And one thing that I do with appraiser is very strategic. I don't actually show my cards. I don't tell them how much I know about real estate whatsoever. I don't want it to become a battle of egos of who knows more.
That's interesting. So on one hand, you're doing this incredible amount of like prep internally. So you get all your ducks in a row. But when you're there at the person, you're actually really like level and kind of personable. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am like just that. A homeowner.
You're just a homeowner.
Yeah. I don't talk about real estate market. I don't talk about this robust report that I put together. I kindly say to the person, hey, I rent some comparables here and would like to see it.
It's interesting. And you take that approach. Why?
I don't want it to become a battle of egos.
Egos, yeah. Makes sense.
I feel that when we are in that, then they want to prove to me that they know more because they are the experts there.
And so you're not gonna
win let
that.
Them be the expert. Go be the expert. Great. I need you to be the expert. But I want to make sure that I offer that. And if they say, and then on that package that I give it to them, and this is my third tip here for you guys. The package has, of course, the comps. And also has a list of all the work that I have done with numbers. So they understand exactly what was before, what it is now, and all the effort that I put into it. Usually they say, sure, give it to me. And then when they look and say, oh, you did a lot of work here. I was like, yeah, I did a lot of work. And, you know, very informal. And then I do one more thing after that because they might lose that paper. I send them an email and say, hey, nice to meet you. Just so you know, I want to just double check if you won't need a copy of it. It's attached. Looking forward to hearing from you. Because I want to make sure they have it. But it's very informal. I'm not there to give them my track record and how much I was able to raise. And let me be very clear with all of you right now, and I'm not joking when I say this. Just by opening up my mouth and appealing appraisal reports, I was able to increase equity and pull out $297,000 of combined equity in different projects. I had projects where I got a no out of the bat, meaning they said, no, there's no equity on this property. And I wrote the report, and on that specifically, property was $115,000 I was able to pull. Don't assume the appraisal knows your neighborhood. Many times they're coming from a different city, a different township, and the rules over there are very, very different. And the banker, also don't assume that they know your neighborhood as you know. It's your job as an investor to really know your neighborhood. Respect the process. I'm not saying that when you do a report, they are obligated to accept yours. No, they're not. You get a chance when you find holes, you know your numbers, you know your why you're investing in that neighborhood, and you have a very clean report pointing it out, the mistakes that happened on the other report, you get a chance. It's not game over. You get a chance to extend a time.
Question for you, Andressa. When you do that and you prepare everything, and then that appraiser says, we're keeping our numbers for XYZ reason. Can you raise the flag? Can you bring it to someone else and go, let me talk to your boss? Or how much can you push? Have you had those situations and how do you navigate that?
Fortunately, I have not had those situations because I think I dissected so much. And I knew my market so much that their mistake on the appraisal report was really like bad.
Yeah.
Was really bad because I made my case very strong. But I know about other investors that they request another appraiser or they change lenders. That is a possibility there if you feel very strong. But you need to feel super strong on it. And I think that it comes down to the money in the bank, meaning the relationship that you have with your banker and the relationship that you build with your appraisal. How they perceive you. You are there not just to, nobody likes to hear that they made a mistake on their job, right? So that's not the case. So it's very delicate situation on how can you insert yourself and just pull back some areas. And they're like, hey, oh, that's the lady that served me a chocolate cookie. Yes, that's me. I want to be known as the
lady that serves chocolate cookies, because that's what you're known for, Andressa.
Yes, do not Google me. Don't. So that's what I have for you guys today. Listen, open up your mouth, go ahead, read the report. That is your first step there. And have tools on your toolbox. Test this out. Ethically, you are able to make it work. If you don't know your market, if you don't know the rules of the game, game is over. And those are the things that we believe that you can have on your toolbox in order to continue the work. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. And as always, take one thing away from this episode and use it. Take some action.
Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.